argument is Korski versus Ashcroft. Mr. Berman.
May it please the court, Judge Bauer, Judge Evans, Judge Posner, Ms. Hancock of Office of Immigration Litigation. My name is Stephen Berman, and I represent the petitioner Vasily Korski. This matter comes before the court on petition for review of the decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals. Mr. Korski is an asylum applicant. He entered the country illegally, and while still in lawful status, he applied for asylum. His case was referred to the immigration court, and the immigration court denied the case based on a possibly counterfeit birth certificate.
Was it or was it not?
The court actually did not decide that. The court explicitly stated they did not make any finding of fraud. The petitioner could not refute the expert witness, but the judge withheld any finding on that issue. He didn't find whether it was counterfeit or not. At issue before the court is whether this document and this report alone is a sufficient
basis. I don't think that's accurate. He says, because the respondent has not rebutted the conclusions of the service's expert witnesses to the genuineness of his birth certificate, his claim is discredited and his testimony is rejected as lacking credibility. Pretty clear.
He did not rebut it. That's true.
Well, that's just what he said. He said, you know, it's not genuine. His claim is discredited and his testimony is rejected as lacking credibility.
The rest of the claim is discredited, Your Honor. The testimony and all of the other evidence submitted are discredited.
That's not an accurate reading.
But, Your Honor, if I may. Thank you. The immigration court stated that the petitioner did not even attempt to rebut the conclusions. Rather, what the petitioner stated was he thought that it was real when he submitted it to the court. He explained how he got it. He said his mother sent it to him, explaining to him where she received it. The immigration judge on the board didn't find that relevant because it didn't rebut the FDL report. Okay. At issue is whether the fraudulent document, the counterfeit document, whether it was or not, presuming it is, whether that alone is sufficient to discredit all the evidence. Petitioner contends that...
It seems to me that's an issue for the trier of fact. I don't see that as an issue for us.
Your Honor, the immigration court, I understand.
If it's a forged document, you're not likely to impress the immigration judge.
If a person deliberately submits a counterfeit document, they're not likely to impress the immigration judge. But if a person submits a document that they believe is genuine, and they testify credibly how they got it, and that they think
but
that
But the
it was
immigration
genuine.
Judge doesn't have to believe them. You say testified credibly. The immigration judge doesn't agree.
He doesn't have to believe that. That's true. But the judge didn't say whether or not he believes that. A close reading of the decision and the board's decision show that it didn't matter to them whether he believed that. It says he didn't rebut their conclusions. Not that he didn't believe his explanation. He didn't rebut whether or not it's genuine. The board's decision is exactly the same. It doesn't matter what he believed. He didn't rebut the conclusion that it was counterfeit. If it was counterfeit, that ends the analysis. That's the judge's decision based on matter of OD, and that's the board's decision based on matter of OD. Petitioner contends that should not end the analysis, that it is relevant whether or not he believed that it was genuine. The immigration court didn't think it was relevant, nor did the board. The only issue to them was whether or not that was counterfeit. If it was, all of the other evidence can safely be discredited. Petitioner contends that is not a correct statement of the law. In fact, this court rejected that reasoning in a prior case. And as we cited in our decision, this board recently decided in Kerchiku versus Ashcroft that it simply isn't enough. The court cannot end the case based only on that forensic document lab report. The court has to consider the rest of the evidence in the case and make a full decision based on the evidence presented whether or not the petitioner is credible. The court didn't do so with the board's approval. The court engaged in a conclusory manner, rigidly applying this ruling of the board. If this document is not credible, the entire case has to be thrown out. We contend that it doesn't make sense. That's not a correct statement of the law. This court has ruled already that that's not a correct statement of the law, and we would request the case to be sent back for a proper analysis which considers all the evidence. Your Honor, the respondent counsel...
What was the false admission in that that other case that you mentioned?
In Pachiku?
Yes.
The person couldn't show how he got a paper. There was a
what?
The petitioner in Kirchiku could not explain to the court on what date he received a certain paper. He testified he got it on one day.
There was no doc. You represented the
I did, Your
petitioner
Honor.
In that case and in this case.
I did. They were both under matter of OD. They were both decided on the same reasoning. There's a document of dubious origin. Based on that, there's no need to hear the rest of the case. If we don't know where this document came from, we can safely conclude the whole case is a fraud. This court ruled it's not enough. That's a basis to conclude that it's a fraud, but the court has to consider all of the evidence, not just that. We acknowledge, had the court considered all of the evidence and not rigidly applied the law in matter of OD, had the court considered all of the evidence, there would be a basis for its decision, possibly. If the court ruled that petitioner deliberately submitted a counterfeit document, he didn't rule that. On the contrary, the judge and the board granted voluntary departure. In granting it, the judge stated explicitly, there is no conclusive proof of fraud. Petitioner therefore met his burden of proof of good moral character, which made him eligible for voluntary departure, and the board extended his voluntary departure. If there was a finding of fraud, the court could not have done that, nor could the board. The judge stated that it was not conclusive, he was not persuaded there was necessarily fraud, and there was no statement at all whether or not the judge or the board believed the applicant's explanation how he got the document and that he believed that it was real. If I may save time for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Hancock?
Please, the court, Catherine Hancock for respondent John Ashcroft. The only issue before the court this morning is a purely legal issue. The petitioner alleges that the immigration judge violated due process by failing to consider all of the testimony prior to making an adverse credibility determination. The petitioner does not raise a factual substantial evidence challenge to the board's adverse credibility determination. Therefore, all the arguments raised by opposing counsel regarding the facts and the adverse credibility determination and findings as to the counterfeit document are not before the court this morning.
What happens in these cases? If somebody testifies, for instance, like here, I'm Jewish, you have to prove that? I mean, in a courtroom, ordinarily, those kind of statements are not challenged. You don't have to say, I'm Jewish, and here's a birth certificate.
Correct, Your Honor.
Records proving that fact.
And under the federal immigration regulations, it specifically provides that an applicant may prove his case solely on the basis of his testimony. However, in cases where evidence should be readily available, corroborating evidence, the applicant is expected to prove it. And in this case, the applicant knew that the credibility of the document was called into question before the time, the forensic lab report he had been given a copy of prior to the hearing. And he knew it was going to be called into question, yet he didn't offer any other evidence to prove his religion.
Ordinarily, he wouldn't have needed that, are you saying? But he just came in and said, I'm Jewish, and there wouldn't have been any challenge to it.
Perhaps the judge would have found that enough. If he found the testimony credible, he might have decided that testimony alone stating I'm Jewish would have been sufficient. Or, for example, the applicant could have testified to different practices of his faith, things he did to give a little more evidence, examples to the judge to show that he really was in
practice. Recite his readings from his bar mitzvah, perhaps, or something
like that? Sure. Anything like that, Judge, would have worked.
Interesting. But the fact that he produces a document deep sixes the whole thing.
Well, in this case, Your Honor, it did, because he failed, even though he knew mm-hmm. that document...
He should have taken another step, then, to demonstrate his Jewishness.
Right. If he had, in this case, if he had presented other evidence to the immigration judge perhaps might have found that in light of all this evidence, he really had established that he was Jewish, and the court would overlook the document that it did find to be counterfeit.
But Mr. Berman's main argument is simply that the immigration judge thought that if the document was spurious, that was the end of the case.
And that is not correct, Your Honor. The immigration judge clearly considered all the evidence here before determining that Corsi was not credible. Before rendering his oral decision, the immigration judge noted twice on the record that he had reviewed all the evidence. And then he went on to state that the submission of the counterfeit document, quote, severely impacts his credibility. But even despite that, the immigration judge went on to say that, quote, if taken as true, his claim certainly appears to state a claim for past persecution on the basis of religion. This indicates that the immigration judge was weighing all the evidence and was not ruling as a matter of law.
That's not the issue of past persecution. That's not whether he's really Jewish.
Well, he said if taken as true, he had proved past events that would constitute past persecution. Again, he found the immigration...
Well, what do you think he's saying when he said because the respondent has not rebutted the conclusions of the service expert witnesses, his claim is discredited and his testimony is rejected as lacking credibility? That's a pretty flat statement that if you have a false document, that's the end of your case.
I don't think read in the context of the opinion and the statements made immediately prior to rendering the oral decision that that's the case here. I think the immigration judge made clear that he looked at all the evidence. In fact, a footnote in the opinion right after the sentence,
right,
I think you're quoting, Your Honor,
footnote.
States that he also notes there was no corroborating evidence submitted, which again indicates that the immigration judge looked at the totality of the evidence here and indicated that the applicant had not provided any other evidence to support his religion claim.
Yes, so earlier you said that a serious problem has arisen with regards to the respondent's credibility. Now, according to Mr. Berman, the fact that it was a false statement shouldn't cast doubt on his credibility because he gave an explanation for why it was false.
First, I'd like to say that, again, that issue is not before this court because that's not part of the due process argument.
No. His argument is that because Korski gave an explanation for why it was a false, for why he submitted it, he didn't know it was false.
His explanation, Your Honor, was insufficient here.
Well, but where did the immigration judge say that his explanation was insufficient?
I think that's inherent in he. The,
well,
contrary
I don't
to
mean
what counsel
by inherent. He didn't comment on it. He didn't say, "Well, look, the document is a forgery," but Korski says, "Well, you know, he just got it from his mother, so he's not responsible for it's being a forgery."
But clearly in this case, Your Honor, in these types of counterfeit documents, and this is what the board relied on in the decision OD, which the judge here also relied on, is that counterfeit documents of this type are not created for any purpose other than for the applicant's benefit.
No, but what he says is he got it from his mother, so maybe his mother forged it or bought some forged document.
Well, and it's possible, and it just isn't.
Well, he didn't discuss this, so the immigration judge didn't discuss this possibility.
And none of this was also brought up by the applicant in his testimony. But even as under OD, there doesn't have to be any finding that the applicant knew that the counterfeit document was in fact counterfeit. OD relied solely on the fact that the document turned into the court was ended
no,
up
there
being counterfeit.
There are two separate issues. If the document is forged, it's obviously not evidence. But the next question is, should it discredit the testimony of the applicant? Well, only if he knows it's forged. If he doesn't know it's forged, then his credibility, it's still not good evidence, but his credibility isn't damaged.
Your Honor, I dispute that. What OD relied on was the fact that documents like a counterfeit birth certificate are not things that normally
become
counterfeit.
You're not listening to me. Suppose his mother forged a document, gave it to him. He doesn't know it's forged, and he submits it. Now, it's not good evidence, obviously. But doesn't the immigration judge have to find that he knew it was forged before he can use that to discredit the rest of his testimony?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. The immigration judge here
that
did make an explicit...
That is completely illogical. I think you're being illogical.
Well, the immigration judge did make an explicit finding on the record on page 156 and 157 that the document was counterfeit.
We know that. That's the premise.
Yes.
But suppose that Korski didn't know it was counterfeit. How would the other evidence, how would his other testimony be discredited by the fact that he submitted a document which he thought was genuine and it wasn't?
Your Honor, the OD...
Would you stop going back to OD and just answer my question?
I'm trying to, Your Honor. In this case, I think it was a reasonable inference for the immigration judge to make that despite Korski's explanation that his mother gave him the document, that Korski must have known
well,
the document
was fraudulent. He must have known.
He didn't say that, but I think that's inherent from the statement that he
made. Was there a finding that there was no fraud?
There was not a finding that there was fraud or was not fraud. He said he could not establish 100% conclusively that there was fraud.
100%.
He didn't say that.
He did say 100% conclusively fraud. I have the record cite for you if you like.
In his opinion?
I believe it was immediately before the oral decision was rendered. I think on pages 154.
Well, we're going by this published opinion where he says does not conclusively establish. He doesn't talk about 100%.
Well, he did immediately prior in his summary before issuing the decision, Your Honor. And to the extent he found that there was no fraud for purpose of voluntary departure.
If he submitted a false document, that would be fraud, wouldn't it?
It would be, Your Honor. And I think he was trying by saying, you know, there's not conclusively fraud. I think the immigration judge was trying to cut the applicant a break in order to give him voluntary departure. And to the extent those two findings are inconsistent, nobody appeals voluntary
departure. Does he also have to prove he's Russian?
What?
Does he also have to prove he's Russian? Or can he just say, I'm Russian?
Theoretically, the applicant has the burden of proof on all matters, but here I don't think it was contested that he was Russian. There was other evidence that he was Russian.
Well,
and again, the Russian part also doesn't go to the heart of the asylum claim, as the religion does here.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Hancock.
Thank you,
Mr. Berman, do you have anything further?
Just briefly, I think counsel for respondent was correct. The board and the judge did not consider the intent relevant. Their case law and their holding make clear the intent was not relevant. All that matters was that the document was counterfeit. This is the same issue before the court in Kirchiku. We believe the law is wrong. The board is not applying the correct standard. Is giving the judges...
But that is the standard?
That's the standard that the board set for the judges. There's no need to continue any further. And we believe the law is wrong. The judge followed the law, and the law is wrong, and that's why the case should be reversed.
Mm.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Berman.
Thank you, Ron.
And thank you, Ms. Hancock. Next case for argument, United States versus Beard.